If you have your Bible, pick it up and find again in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, find chapter 25 and hold your place there for just a moment. Chapter 25, hold your place there. This morning we return to our series on the kings of Judah. If there is anything that distinguishes the Bible's description of kings, it's the condition of their heart. In fact, King David, the standard for all great and godly kings in the Bible, his calling, his anointing, his ministry began with God's reflection on the condition of his heart when the prophet Samuel showed up to anoint David to be the next king. God told him to stop looking at the exterior of the men in the household of David's brother. God said, when men look at the outside, I look at the heart. God is concerned with the condition of our character, with the passions, the perspectives of our heart, with the purposes for which we live. All of this is wrapped up in that terminology, our heart, who we really are and what we're really about. And that's what God looks at. And that's what we surrender to God when we surrender our lives to Him so He can change our hearts. He can make us more like Him. When we look at the outside of people, we have no idea what the condition of our heart is, do we? In fact, in a very real sense, everyone looks alike this morning. Y'all look like church people. And that's what we know of each other. We don't know what's going on in the heart. We don't know the condition of the heart. But God does. As an illustration of this, I read this week that researchers in California have developed a new way to catch poachers of turtle eggs. It's a real problem on the coastal areas of the United States that people are poaching the eggs of turtles that come up to the beaches and to the dunes to lay their eggs. Week before last, a man was arrested in Florida and had in his possession 107 eggs. He was arrested for poaching those eggs while a loggerhead turtle was laying eggs. He was right there scooping them up. Researchers in California think they've come up with a way to help solve this problem. With using a 3D printer, they have duplicated a loggerhead turtle egg. They have created an egg, printed out an egg that looks exactly like the egg that the turtles lay, and they're going to scatter those about and put those in the nests of turtles. Say, how would that help? Well, it just so happens this egg's special. It has woven into it a GPS tracker. Yeah. So when Mr. Poacher comes along and scoops up all those eggs and takes that egg with him, they can find him very easily. But all the eggs look alike, right? All the eggs look alike. In a sense, in this room, all the eggs look alike. Only God sees past the shell, and God knows what's on the inside. But God knows what's on the inside. And God is concerned about the condition of our heart. In the Bible, the heart refers to all the motivations of a person, the will, the motivations, the passions that drive that person, and everything that's wrapped up in that, the character of that person. And God is concerned with that. Throughout the series, we have seen God's concern for the character of kings, for the heart of kings. As I mentioned, beginning back with King David, he is the standard, and all other kings are compared to him in the condition of their heart and in their leadership for the nation that comes out of that heart. That we have seen that some of the kings are not, as we read, wholeheartedly devoted to God. They've got a relationship problem with God. We've seen others that have a character problem because their heart is not right. Some participate in idolatry because their heart is not right. This morning, however, we're going to read of a king whose indictment concerning his heart is not like any other king in the Bible. What is said of him and his heart is not said of any other king in the Bible. But what's curious is it's one of the most common problems that people have, one of the most common spiritual conditions and heart problems before God that we have. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, the king is Amaziah. He is the ninth king of the kingdom of Judah during the divided kingdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 opens this way. The Bible says, Amaziah became king when he was 25 years old. and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, a good long period of time to reign. His mother's name was Jehoadan. She was from Jerusalem. Now look at verse 2. He did what was right in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. He did what was right in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. He's the only king that is painted with that indictment. That was his problem. He did right things, but his heart was not in it. Think about that. The things he did were good. The things he did, up until a point anyway, were even right in the sight of God. God liked the things that he did. His problem, however, is that when he did those things, he was just going through the motions. His heart was not in it. He just did it half-heartedly because he knew they were the right things to do. This is a problem that many of us have. Let's be honest. It's a problem that's hard to define and hard to describe and even harder to articulate and say to someone. The only terminology that seems to make sense is when we have this condition, when we have this problem, the way that we put it is, my heart's just not in it. And what we mean by that is we've lost our passion, we've lost the pleasure, we've lost the purpose of doing those things, and when we're involved in ministry for God, when we've signed up to do something for God in the church, is when it's especially prevalent. And this is a problem. It's a problem for churches, including our church, that believers in Christ sign up and eventually stop showing up. Why? Because when they signed up for the wrong reasons, or when they signed up, they started doing it under their own initiative in their own flesh, and their heart just wasn't in it. And when we're in that condition, we're just going through the motions. We're doing things we know that are right to do, and maybe even good things to do, but somewhere along the line, we wake up one day and we say, I just have no heart for it anymore. My heart's not in it. What happened? What happened? As the people of God, we have commitments that we have made. Many of you right now, your names are on a piece of paper called the Nominating Committee Report. Good for you. And here we are, two-thirds of the way through the church year and your year of service. And let me ask you a question. Are you passionate about that area of service? Are you showing up? Are you participating? Or could it be, if you're really honest with yourself, you'd say, you know what, I fizzled out a long time ago. And the only way I can describe why is that my heart's just not in it. It's just not there. That was Amaziah's problem. So we can find help from Amaziah. But we have to know today that when we are stepping up in ministry, doing things that are just pretty good or passable, or doing things without passion, doing things half-heartedly, does not please God. In fact, I would offer that God despises half-hearted commitment. Tom Rainer, the president of our own Lifeway Christian Resources, the Southern Baptist arm of Christian Publications, Tom Rainer is fond of saying it is a sin to be good when we are called to be great. And yet many believers slide right into that mentality. As long as what I do is good enough, then it's good enough. I'll just do what's passable. I don't have to be excellent. But mediocrity is often born of half-hearted commitment. And in God's mind, half-hearted commitment is no commitment at all. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus himself in the book of Revelation, when he was reviewing the seven churches, his indictment for Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, this is what Jesus said. He said, I know your works. That is, I know the things you have done, and they might be good things. I know your works, but you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying, I'd rather you be honest and say, you don't care, and not sign up. I'd rather you be honest and say your heart is cold toward the things of God than claim you're hot toward the things of God when in reality you're lukewarm. And what he says is, you know what? Lukewarm believers make me sick to my stomach. That's what Jesus was saying. No, God is not pleased He is not pleased with service to him that's just passable and pretty good. He is not pleased with us showing up when we're half-heartedly, barely committed to the cause, and we eventually fizzle out altogether. No, he is not pleased. And it could be this morning he's going to be speaking to one of you, two of you, three or four or more in this room, because you find yourself right here and you realize now this has been your problem. This has been your problem. You're just going through the motions, or you stopped showing up at all because you've lost heart for it. And you don't know why. With Amaziah's experience, we want to explore that just a bit this morning. We're going to take something of a test today and ask and answer some questions to consider the condition of our own hearts. Are we the kind of person that right now is doing good things, but not with a whole heart, or half-heartedly devoted, just going through the motions? Or are we the kind of person that perhaps signed up, but we've already stopped showing up because we realized our heart wasn't in it? Look at these questions with me and let God help you answer them for yourself this morning. First question, to help us know if this is us, test ourselves to know if we're just half-heartedly committed. First, are you trusting God or trusting yourself? Trusting God or trusting yourself is a symptom of half-hearted commitment, half-hearted actions, barely showing up, just going through the motions. If we are just going through the motions, half-heartedly committed to God, we are trusting ourselves and not trusting God. But the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to step up in ministry and participate with God in the great things of God and in the kingdom of God without trusting Him. When we start trusting ourselves, we fall back on our own skills, what we can bring to the table, what we can do, and we say, that's pretty good, that's all right. I'll just do good enough out of the efforts of my own life, and God will be okay with that. But God's not okay with that. Look back with me at Amaziah. In chapter 25, look at verse 5. As Amaziah takes the throne, the Bible compresses and condenses his activities. And one of the first things he did was to see how his army looked, because he had the objective of going to war against the northern kingdom, Israel. His father had done that. Many kings before him had been fighting with the northern kingdom in Israel. So he figured this was a good idea. And the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 25, verse 5. Then Amaziah gathered Judah and assembled them according to ancestral house, according to commanders of thousands, and according to commanders of hundreds. He numbered those 20 years old or more for all Judah and Benjamin. He found there to be 300,000 choice men who could serve in the army, bearing spear and shield. Now, what he's done to that point is he is essentially taking a military census of the land of Judah. And the two tribes now that are in the south, Benjamin and Judah, among those tribes, he took out any men that were 20 years old or older, and he's put them into an army. In doing so, he's found that he has about 300,000 good warriors. But in that day and time, 300,000 for an army and for a real war, that's not a lot of people. That's not a big army. So he decides to take action in a different direction. Look at verse 6. Then for 7,500 pounds of silver, he hired 100,000 brave warriors from Israel. He reaches out to the northern kingdom and he hires 100,000 mercenaries. Men with no loyalty to either nation, but they'll do whatever you want them to do, kill whoever you want them to kill for a price. So he collects 100,000 of these warriors, these mercenaries from the northern kingdom. Verse 7, however, a man of God came to him, that is a prophet, and said, King, do not let Israel's army go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. All of the Ephraimites, that is, all of Israel, God is not with them. But if you go with them, do it, be strong for battle. Now, what the prophet means by that, if you're going to go against God, you better do it right. But God will make you stumble before the enemy, for God has the power to help or to make one stumble. Here's Amaziah's thinking. I'm in charge of this situation. I'm the king. And I've got a pretty good plan. I got a pretty good strategy. So he collects up his army of 20-somethings and older, figures that's not enough, and he reaches out to Israel, to 100,000 mercenaries, and pays them off to join his army to fight their king. Does anybody else think that's not a good idea? But to him, in his mind, it sounds like a good strategy. He is trusting his own efforts to collect an army without ever asking God what he should do. He didn't even ask God if he should go to war. So the prophet shows up. The prophet says, Amaziah, this is a pretty good time for me to let you know God's perspective on this. God is not in Israel's favor. He's not in the northern kingdom's favor. There's no reason to go to war. And if you bring 100,000 men from the kingdom that God is not blessing and put them in your army, you're going to have an even bigger problem. Because then God's not blessing your army. But he says, if you decide to take action on your own, trusting yourself, trusting your own instincts, you need to know that God is the one that decides who wins the war, not you. And Amaziah, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter how big your army is. It only matters what God is going to do. That's all that matters. When we step up for ministry and we do it under the guise, this is what we say to ourselves. You know what? I'd be pretty good at that. I could figure that out. At least for a year. They're only asking me to sign on for a year. So for a year, I'll be good at this. I'll do a good job. And we don't ask God if we should do it. And while we're in it, we don't ask God to provide for us. We don't ask God to decide the outcome. We just figure because it looks good to us that we can do this, that we should. And we go into it trusting ourselves. We're not asking God to show up and do something great. We're not trusting God for a great move of God in our midst. We're not asking him. We just say, well, I can do this, so I'm going to trust myself to make the right decisions, to do the right things. And pretty soon we get weary, we get tired, we fizzle, our heart's not in it. And if we stay in it, we're just going through the motions instead of trusting God. Rock bottom of all that we do in ministry, the foundation for all we do as believers in Christ, whether it's ministry in the church, whether it's loving your family, whether it's making decisions, your job, whatever it is, your relationships, it always comes down to this. Will you trust God? Will you believe God knows better than you do what you should do? So ask yourself this morning. You find yourself half-hearted in ministry, barely showing up, and when you do, you just go through the motions. Pause a minute and ask yourself, have I been trusting myself all this time? Have I been saying, you know, I can handle this, I can do this, I've got the skills, or have I been trusting God? Second question. Are you serving God or seeking a blessing? Are you serving God or seeking a blessing? Look at chapter 25 and verse 9. This is Amaziah's response to what the prophet says. Chapter 25 and verse 9. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, well, what should I do about the 7,500 pounds of silver I gave to Israel's division? And the man of God replied, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Amaziah, pay attention. Amaziah's perspective is, well, if I trust God, what do I get out of it? Yeah. He's really no different than the mercenaries he hired. And now I've given them that much money, so what am I going to get in return? What happens to that money? What do I get from God? If I trust God instead of trusting my instincts, what do I get out of it? Now, I don't think many of us ever sign up for a ministry position saying to God, all right, God, I'm expecting something from you. But we still do it sometimes. Let me tell you how we most often do it. We're going through a hard time. We've got prayers we've been praying, things going on in our life. Somebody calls us up and says, will you serve on this committee? Will you serve in this ministry? Will you step out and be there for us? And you say, maybe if I do, God will answer my prayers. See, what you're doing is you're bargaining with God. Instead of trusting God with your issues and your problems, you're trying to appease God with more good work. And maybe God will do this, maybe God will do that, if I do this, if I do that. What God wants from us is unselfish service. God wants us to say, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Because God cares for you. God loves you. God knows your problems. God wants to answer your prayers, and in His timing, He's working in your life. Serving God is what the Bible teaches all believers should be doing, but we don't do it out of bargaining with God. We do it because we love God and we trust God. We do it because we want to see God do great things in our lives and in those ministries and in those places that He puts us. We serve God. The other version is frankly selfish. It's saying, God, what do I get out of this? What do I get out of this if I say yes to you? So do a heart check this morning. Could it be that you have fizzled, that you've waned, because in truth, you thought God would do this, this, and this. You made something of a bargain with God when you showed up and you said yes, and you added another activity and you added another good thing, and you're serving on committee number 16 and ministry number 7, and you wonder why you're so tired, and you wonder why your heart's not in it. Well, step back a minute and say, God, you know what? I just want to serve you. That's really all there is to it. I just want to serve you. So if your heart's not in it, if you're just going through the motions, don't ask God what you can get out of it. Let God work through you to bring something great to the situation, to the ministry, to that opportunity. Let God use you. And you just serve God. You just serve God. Third question. Are you motivated by pride or by pleasing God? Are you motivated by pride or by pleasing God? You know, often we would think that pride would produce excellence and greatness. But more often than not, pride in our hearts produces mediocrity. Pride is when we say, well, whatever I do is good enough. It'll be passable, it'll be good enough, and God's just lucky to have me show up. Look at Amaziah again. If you were to go back this afternoon and read the rest of chapter 25, you would find that Amaziah, in truth, develops a reputation for pride. And his pride grows so great that he finally stops doing those things that are right in the sight of the Lord, and he reintroduces idols into the land, sheerly out of pride, sheerly out of the belief that he is that good, that he's not going to mess up. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 14. Here we hear about a battle that Amaziah did lead, a war that he did win against the Edomites, and what he did afterward. The Bible says, after Amaziah came from the attack on the Edomites, he brought the gods of the Seirites and set them up as his gods. He worshipped before them and burned incense to them. So the Lord's anger was against Amaziah, and he sent a prophet to him who said, now this is prophet number two, a prophet to him who said, why have you sought a people's gods that could not deliver their own people from your hand? While the prophet was still speaking to him, the king asked him. The king interrupted God's prophet and said, have we made you the king's counselor? Stop. Why should you lose your life? In other words, you keep talking and I will have you killed. So the prophet stopped. But he said, I know that God intends to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my advice. He is operating out of pride now. It is the natural conclusion of a man whose heart was never in serving God in the first place. Not only now does he trust himself more than he trusts God, trust himself instead of trusting God, not only does he want to know what he's going to get out of it, now he believes that he's in charge. He's ignoring God altogether. And his indictment against his heart problem has turned into a prophecy that he will be destroyed for his behavior. It's pride. When we operate out of pride in ministry in the church, we're asking God to make us look good. If we're operating out of pride, we're looking for that applause or that attaboy or that attagirl. We're looking for someone to tell us how good we are. And here's the key. We're not willing to show up unless they do. Because we're not unselfishly serving God. We're not serving God at all. We're serving ourselves. And we want our pride groomed, and we want to look good, and we want people to tell us we're great, instead of glorifying and exalting God in what we do. Half-hearted commitment is fueled by that pride, because pride keeps us serving from going through the motions, serving half-heartedly instead of wholeheartedly. Pride says, I can do this. They just don't appreciate me. They don't know how good I am at this. And pride keeps us in that place. But the Bible says our motivation, our sole motivation for all that we do for God and in ministry should always be to please God. Our words should be like that of the Apostle Paul, who said, whether I am at home with the Lord or right here on this earth, I have exactly the same ambition. It's exactly the same. I have but one ambition, he said, and that is to please God. He never once said, hey, when I need God, I'll let him know. Or I'm not going to show up to some young church and help them out unless I get a pat on the back and an attaboy, Paul. No. Just serving God. That was enough. Trusting God. That was the way to do it. So the apostle was able to serve with passion his whole ministry, serve out of a heart that was overflowing and full, and serve with his own, with a whole heart and his own desire to serve God. So ask yourself this morning, if you find yourself serving half-heartedly, if at all, maybe you've already fizzled, but maybe you're still doing some good things, kind of going through the motions, and in the back of your mind, what you're always saying is, I wonder why nobody notices me. Nobody realizes how great I am at this. And pride is pressing you, and pride is wearing you out, because you're not serving God from a whole heart just to love and serve God. On April 29th, 2015, the Orioles and the White Sox played a game in Maryland, in Baltimore, a game that made history. Not because of the players, not because of the outcome of the game. It made history because there were absolutely no spectators in the 30,000-seat stadium. Not a one. See, that was the time there were riots going on in Baltimore. And the professional baseball officials would not sell tickets to that game because they didn't want to fuel the riots with 30,000 people hitting the streets after the game. So you think the White Sox said, well, we're not going to show up if there are no fans there. You think the Orioles said, well, we're not going to play if there are no fans there. No, they showed up. And not only did they played their best. Power hitter Chris Davis hit one out of the park and into the streets that day. And he said later to a reporter, the only thing that was weird about it is nobody clapped. Are you showing up? Signing up and showing up because you want the applause? Or are you going to do your best no matter what? Because you're serving God. Because you're serving God. You know, the Bible says that no matter what we do, no matter how large or how small, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, the Bible says, do it all for the glory of God. That's how you serve from a whole heart. That's how you serve from a whole heart. Now this morning, you may be the one sitting in here and you realize this is you. And it's been hard to define, it's been hard to articulate, it's been hard to put into words except to say, I want to do the right thing and I think I'm doing good things, but my heart's just not in it. I just feel like I'm going through the motions, but I don't want it to be like that. And if that's you, your first response, the first thing you think about doing is actually the last thing you should do. The first thing you're thinking about doing is quitting. It is. You're thinking about saying, well, I'm just going to step down. My heart's not in. I'm going through the motions. It's taking too much time. I'm tired. So I'm just going to step down. That should be the last thing you should do. The second thing we think about doing sounds pretty good. I'll serve out the whole year. I told the nominating committee, I told Pastor Bob or Mike or Matt, that I'd serve, so I'm committed. I'm going to serve out the whole year. Good for you. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. And yet, that doesn't solve the problem. You're just serving longer, half-heartedly. You're doing good things, but half-heartedly. Your heart's just not in it. The third thing you usually think about doing, and that I usually think about doing, the third thing is the first thing that we need to do. You ready? If you're the one sitting here this morning and you're saying, that's me, my heart's just not in it, I'm serving half-heartedly, I like the ministry, I like what I'm doing, it's okay, and I'm doing good things, but my heart's just not in it. The first thing you need to do is get with God. You need to ask God, what is going on in my heart and in my life? Because it could be that something's changed in your life in these weeks and months since you signed up with good intentions. It could be that something's changed. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe there's a sin in your life. And sin in your life will always affect your heart for God. It always diminishes your passion and enthusiasm for ministry. Always. So the first thing we must do is get with God and say, God, what's going on? And then you got to be brave. You ready? You've got to say to God, change me. Change me, God. Because I don't like this. When I say yes, when I serve you, I want to do it with my whole heart. I want to have a full-blown commitment to you, God, that changes things, changes me, and I want to see you use me to change lives, God. So, God, what's going on? That's your first question. So I want to ask you if you'll be courageous enough to do that with God this morning. Will you be courageous enough to say, God, I want you to work on me. I'm the problem. I'm the problem. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in this room this morning, right now in this room, 1, 2, 3, maybe 10, you've been speaking to us, God. We know that we are the one that you're talking to. And God, you have spoken to our hearts. The Spirit has shown us this morning that we're serving and maybe doing good things, but not with a whole heart. We're weary from it, trying to do it on our own. But Father, my prayer for each of us today is that we would trust you. First and foremost, God, we would trust you. We would trust you with this problem. We would trust you, God, to change us, to impassion us, to revive us, God, because we so desperately need that. And Father, we would trust you this morning more deeply. I pray also, God, we would be committed to serving unselfishly. Wherever you place us, wherever you put us, whatever you desire for us to do, God, we would serve you unselfishly and absolutely with our whole heart. And Father, forgive us for our pride. God, how I pray. You would cleanse us of pride. Cleanse us of selfishness and self-centeredness, God. And may our only passion, may our only desire be to please you in all that we do. So Father, for that one this morning who says, that's me, I'm just going through the motions. God, I pray that this would be the change point for us. You would turn things around today. And that we'd be honest with you, God. We'd be courageous enough to say, God, change us today. So, Father, I give you this time, God, and ask that you would work in our midst in a mighty way. I pray also for that one, Father, who needs Christ as their Savior, that they would trust Jesus Christ today and give their lives to Christ to be forgiven of their sins today. I pray for believers in this room, Father, who need to take a step of faith, a step of commitment into ministry or into missions, God, or who need to bring to you the problems that bear us down, that weigh us down, God, today. Whatever decisions are on our hearts, Father, whatever you're telling us to do, Father, how I pray we would yield to you today, bend our knee to you, our God, and when we rise up, we'll be changed and different people. In Jesus' name.